This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Babel Tower, hour by hour, grew so very high, right up to the sky. It had been built to a giddy height with bricks and mortar. Just look at the sight. Did ever you see such a thing in your life as Babel Tower? The Lord came down, builders all around, watched them scurrying by, looked them in the eye, said, all these people, oh, speak this one, there's no end to what can be done, we must confuse them with separate tongues this very hour. These Babel fools, all down tools, they all said goodbye. Adios, au revoir, die. Just when you thought it would get no worse, it wasn't as if they had all rehearsed. They scattered from there all across the earth by God's own.
What's going on here, like?
Je ne sais quoi, je ne sais quoi.
Vos mongo cloque.
I really don't know. Not a clue.
Okay, the new.
That opening song is from my children's album of songs called Kaleidoscope of Characters. It's one of 48 songs taken from the Old Testament stories, and this particular one is from the book of Genesis called The Tower of Babel. It actually reads like a story by modern-day author Ted Hughes, who wrote How the Whale Became and other stories, and you could almost imagine him writing this one and calling it How the World Came to Speak So Many Different Languages. In Genesis 11, God brings confusion and chaos down upon humans for their arrogance and pride in building a massive tower in order to reach the heavens and become like gods themselves. He is so angry that he causes them all to speak in different languages, thus scattering them across the land, and in doing so they can no longer plot and scheme together. But in today's Bible reading, we're about to hear the opposite version of that story. For with the coming of the Holy Spirit, at a festival known as Pentecost, Jesus' followers in the upper room all began to speak in different languages, just as the Spirit led them to. The only difference being that these languages were actually understood by people outside who were from every nation of the known world. All exciting stuff, eh? So, instead of humans trying to access heaven and being scattered, heaven came down to earth to draw people together and promote unity. Here's a Tese prayer, which is sung in Latin. Come, Holy Spirit, it says. Come from the four winds. Come, breath of God. Be careful as you pray this prayer too. You might get what you asked for, just like the 120 followers of Jesus in that upper room at Pentecost.
Oh,
I'm reading to you this morning from the New Testament, from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning." And so Peter went on to tell the people about the Holy Spirit coming to them. Here's a beautiful song called "Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind," sung by over 700 schoolchildren when they took part in songs of praise in Salisbury Cathedral.
Thank you.
Peter told the crowd outside that what was now happening was exactly what had been foretold by a prophet called Joel, and he quotes him, saying, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." This was the beginning, the birth date of the early church. The believers who had all gathered in one place waiting and praying for the Holy Spirit to come were all suddenly filled with power, and they certainly got people's attention. So powerful was their witness that 3,000 people became believers that day. The Greek word dunamis, from which the words dynamite and dynamic come, is the very word that is used here when Jesus told his disciples, "But you shall receive power, explosive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Let's listen to Catherine Crossweller singing "God's Spirit is in my heart."
God's Spirit is in my heart. He has called me and set me apart. This is what I have to do, what I have to do. The Father sent me, so I'm sending you out to be my witness throughout the world, the whole of the world. He sent me to give the good news to the poor, tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more, tell blind people that they can see, and set the downtrodden. Don't carry a load in your pack. You don't need two sheds on your back. A workman can earn his own key, can earn his own key. He sent me to give the good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see, and say, don't worry what you have to say. Don't worry, because on that day God's Spirit will speak in your heart. Will speak in your heart. He sent me to give the good news to the poor. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see, and say,
the fact that ordinary disciples began speaking fluently in languages from countries all over the known world then was quite amazing, but even more amazing that these languages were actually understood by visitors from many countries where these languages were spoken. Did you know that there are still Christians who speak in tongues today when they pray? I'm one of them. I never thought this kind of thing happened to believers today, but it most certainly does. In his book, 9 o'clock in the morning, Pastor Dennis Bennett gives an example where a tongue was actually understood in one of his meetings. It tells of a man whose tongue seemed oriental, and when he spoke it out at a gathering, there present was a Chinese woman, the wife of a medical doctor, an exchange student at the University of Washington. And she spoke up, "How can this man speak Mandarin so perfectly? Where did he learn such beautiful Mandarin? Where indeed?" There are other examples, of course, written in other books, which have greatly encouraged people and given them hope. Not all of these tongues can be understood. Sometimes they're a heavenly language, but they can be interpreted. And it has been known for two or three people at a meeting to be given the same word of interpretation, which is also amazing. The disciples, though, were no longer afraid of the authorities. They didn't care anymore what others would say about them or do to them as they witnessed. They were ready to face whatever storms of protest or persecution came their way. They couldn't hold back the truth anymore. Now was the time to test the limits and break free. Here's a song I've recently learned by Brian and Katie Torvald called Holy Spirit.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. And your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence,
those who might be asking, is being filled with the Holy Spirit not dangerous or weird? Is it really of God? In Matthew 5, Jesus preempted such questions and taught, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks the door will be opened." Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or, if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's seek first the kingdom of God, here sung by Karen Lafferty.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you.
Jesus said in John 16 that the Holy Spirit, when he came, would convict us of our sin. He would comfort us, counsel us, guide us, teach us, and lead us into all truth. But not only that, like a pilot light wheel begin to fire on all cylinders. When someone is filled with the Spirit, you can really tell the difference. So says Nicky Gumbel in his Alpha book, Questions of Life. St. Paul in the book of Ephesians says we are called to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit, and he recommends that this incredible gift be fanned into flame. Here's a creative prayer to end our programme, written by Carol Dixon from Morpeth, who is one of our regular listeners. Let us pray. Spirit of God, ripple through my life like the wind wafting the long green grass. Spirit of God, bowl me along in life like clouds capering across the bright blue sky. Spirit of God, light up my life like water shimmering on a clear sunlit pool. Spirit of God, keep me in God's presence this day and always. Amen. This is Sheila Hummel. Thank you so much for tuning into this programme this morning and sharing this half hour with me. My thanks also to Andrew Ridgwick, who helps me to produce this programme each week. Andrew, would you like to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
I hope you've been encouraged by our programme today and that you'll join us both next week for more about the Holy Spirit, and our theme is the Spirit of Truth. May I leave you with a final prayer, a song called Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God, sung here by Kristen Getty and written by Keith and Kristen Getty and Stuart Townend. Bye for now.
Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. of the risen Lord to renew my heart and make me whole. Cause your word to come alive in me. Give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. Christ in all I do. Clear for